I really pray that today's message stirs you to be more like the resurrected Jesus. How many know today is Easter? Amen? And so I'd like for us to pray. And so if you bow your heads with me this morning, let's ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for open heavens over this place. God, open minds and hearts to just experience all that you have for each individual in this place. Lord, we thank you that you are the risen God. You are the risen Lord and King. And I just thank you, Savior, that you are here present, wanting to even pluck us out of our past and put us into a glorious future. And so I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, speak to each person today as we talk about the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, and how it can affect our lives. Lord, help my preaching, help their listening, help our application. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to get a little preacher on in this. Okay, you guys ready for this? What I'm preaching is I'm saying, I mean, say it with a little bit of some. Can you guys do that with me? Just a little in there. You're like, I don't want to be a preacher. That's why you're doing this. I would love for you to say to your neighbor, you came out of the cave and you look great. How to know today is Easter. Jesus is risen. And let's celebrate just for a moment. Amen. Happy Easter. Turn to your neighbor and just say, Happy Easter. And today is our Easter party. And we do not worry at all about getting a little crazy for Jesus. Like, we love celebrating. How many of you have ever been in a sports game before and seen how people can kind of go crazy? Well, minus the paint, we did not come in with any war paint today, amen? I don't think church has to be weird, but I do believe that I enjoy a church atmosphere and culture that's celebratory about God. That we're not bashful, we're not going to hide our Christianity nor our excitement. And so I believe that you'll find our church to be an authentic environment where you can express your love for Jesus in a way that honors him and honors the church. Amen? And so today is our Easter party, and we're glad that you joined. It's a day to highlight that Jesus is the risen Messiah. Amen? And that unlike other religious figures, Jesus transcended death. And every other religion was founded by men or prophets whose end was the grave, but not Jesus's. And so today we celebrate, amen, the fact that the grave could not hold back Jesus. The cave could not hold him back. That we celebrate Jesus' divinity because it is absolutely discovered at that point when he self-resurrects, that he being God resurrects himself after the third day, proves his divinity, that he is God, he is Lord, he is King, and he is victor. You know what that means? When someone's a victor, that means they're on the winning side. And I just want to say today that we are also on the winning team. Amen? And so we celebrate God's power as evidenced in his victory over death. I mean, do you know anyone else who self-resurrected besides Jesus? And if you do meet someone like that, just pray for them. Amen? Because they need Jesus, the real one. Amen? We celebrate that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us who have submitted their life to Jesus. And we want everyone to experience the power of that resurrection. As Christians, we know that God became man and that he died for our sins and was resurrected on the third day. And the grave could not hold him, and that he sits by the right hand of the Father with all authority. Amen? And so I just want to invite you into this celebration as we think about the resurrected Christ. To know him and to experience him personally is the beginning of transformation. So that's our heart, is that God would transform your life, your family. How many of you need family cultures transformed? Amen? Or know somebody that needs their family culture that is transformed? And so that's our heart, is that each of you individually and in your family cultures experience what God is able to do. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, I said in a few of the services, you know what, at Life Church, we do believe in the Bible. Somebody said, amen. We believe in the Bible and we preach the Bible. In Philippians 3:10, Paul writes this. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I know I personally want to know Jesus, and I know that no matter what stage in my life, that I continually need to lean into the idea, like Paul said, right? The Bible says he was very learned, but God wanted to get a hold of Paul's life. And I know that the anthem of Paul's heart, as you read the New Testament, was that he would know Christ more and more. And that's my heart. That's the cry of my heart, that I would know Jesus more and more. And not only know Jesus, but experience the power of his resurrection. That word power in the Greek comes this idea of dunamis, or in the Latin, dynamite. And so I just want to tell you, we're not talking about some puny power. I don't know if you guys remember that scene in one of the Avengers where he's like, puny God. And then I think it was Hulk that started beating him up. You remember that? I know some of the youth are like, okay, it's contextualized. I can be a part of the service now. We don't serve a small God. We don't serve a puny God. We serve an almighty God who had the power over the grave, and he invites you out of your cave, amen, out of your cave thinking, out of the grave of bad thinking, out of sinful thinking, into a place of resurrection life where you can experience newness of life. I love what the Message translation says. God is in the business of making nobodies into somebodies. I've said this before. God's in the business of making nobodies into somebodies. And for those who think they're somebodies, he'll make them into nobodies so that he can make them into somebody. That's a lot of somebodies, right? I want you to know Jesus. I do. It's not just an aspiration of my own heart. My prayers, my quiet times are filled with prayers for you that you would want to know him. Because I meet so many believers that don't have a cry in their heart to know God more and more. And so my constant prayer is, Jesus, let them experience the power of the resurrection so that they would want to know you more. See, here's the beautiful thing. As you want to know him more, he reveals the power of his resurrection more. When you experience the power of his resurrection more, you want to know him more. Amen? And so wherever you're at, I'm trusting that God is doing one of the two things so that you begin to experience and get on this thing called life with Jesus. Amen? But not all will respond to this invitation. Some will be tempted to hide in the cave of your past, in the cave of your pain, in the cave of all these things. And I want to tell you, Jesus loves you, but he's not listening to your argument. God doesn't have to do anything other than be God. And in the nature of God is love. That's his very nature. And he wants to love you out of the cave. And so he's not going to argue with you. He's just going to say, hey, just come on out. I love you. I was thinking about a story that I read about recently about Yokoi Shoichi. That is not a fun name to say a lot of times. I'll say it a lot of times fast. But Yokoi Shoichi was a Japanese soldier in World War II that after the war ended, decided to keep battling on for 28 years after his emperor and nation had surrendered to the Allies. He continued on the island of Guam to create a cave to hide away and not surrender to anyone. And so Yokoi Shoichi, he absolutely knew that the war was over, because that was probably one of the questions you were thinking. I know that myself, I was like, why would anyone hide out in a cave of their own making for 28 years? How many know that's a lot of years to hide in a cave? By the way, I was thinking about this. The bottom of the cave was like 3 feet. It was really more like a grave. And so this emerging idea started coming as I was preparing for this sermon. I was like, a lot of us are hiding out in the pain of the past, not wanting to surrender, not recognizing that Jesus paid it all on the cross. And we find ourselves in the cave of our own making. It wasn't until 1955 that Yokoi was declared dead. His poor family had to, they put up a gravestone and engraved his name on it. And how many know that when we don't walk in the kind of freedom that God wants us to walk, it can be consequential to others around us. Our cave dwelling can actually harm other people. And the love of God wants to love you, and it wants to love others around you, because the healthier you is a loving you that can love others towards Jesus. And so we may find Yokoi's story impossible. It doesn't make sense. It's a little crazy. But I'll tell you this. Yokoi's story is probably not much different than some of us sitting here today. Some of us are still warring on over the pains and the wounds of the past, conflicts from childhood traumas. And none of this is to diminish the things that have happened to you, but I think that God wants to heal you and pull you out of the cave. How many know that if you were found with cancer, you wouldn't tell the doctor, don't look anymore, I don't want to know about the cancer? Come on, some of you sitting in this place have had cancer, and you know when you were asked, do you want to do something about this, we're all on board. Yes, we want to do something about this. But the cancer of sin lives in some of us because we don't want to deal with the pain and the trauma of the past. And I'm telling you, you got to feel it to let God heal it. Amen. God wants to do a deep work in each of us so that we can experience the power of his resurrection. All of us have wounds. All of us have scars. All of us have pain from the past. But we don't need to hide out in the cave thinking that God has not won the battle. Sometimes we're in a bitter war with the past. And for unfortunately for many of us, we still have old wars raging on inside of us internally. Still living in the cave as cave dwellers in the dark. You know what the Bible says? There is no way to see in the dark. Isn't that just an amazing statement? I love when the Bible's like pretty obvious. If we walk in darkness, there is no light. And apart from the light, you will not know what you stumble at. And so some people are hurting themselves, not recognizing all they need to do is let Jesus fully embrace them and bring them to a resurrected life. Are you tired of hiding out? Think about maybe some area of your life. And I've been praying for you. Not just the crowd. I've been praying for each individual because I know that God sees you. I may not see every individual through the course of four services, but I knew that God sees each of you. And he began to reveal in your heart the things that he's wanting to bring out of darkness to the light to heal it. Amen. So I would just pray that God would allow you to see that he loves you and he has good plans for you. Amen? Amen? Are you tired of living dead? Are you tired of living in the cave of the past? And I'll tell you, the only solution I can give you, the only hope I can give you, the only plan that's actually going to work, it's not mine, it's God's. It's Jesus. Jesus is the only solution to cave dwelling or hiding out in areas of your life where God is saying, I want to heal that area of your life. Jesus demonstrated to us a way out of the cave. Amen. He had the power over death. If Jesus had the power over death, do you think that he has the ability to heal the brokenness of your family and your life? Jesus is the only way out of internal wars. He's the only way to healing and peace. Amen. And giving your life to Jesus is your only hope. I'm not going to preach any other God, no other gospel, but Jesus and the Word of God is able to save your souls. Amen. And out of the wars and conflicts of the past, hurts, sins, and shame, I believe there is a brilliant future for those who will hear my words and receive the Word of God today. So I want you to repeat after me, how? Can you do that one more time? Thank you for asking. I needed your permission to let you know. Amen. Romans 6:7 says it this way. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. I just feel by the power of the Holy Spirit even today. It's his power that even gives revelation to help to speak encouragement in people's lives. And I sense the Holy Spirit here now. Wanting to set some of you free from the power of sin. Some of you have believed the lie that you will never change. So some of you have given up on trusting that God wants to deal with that area of your life. And I want to tell you today, trust him again. Trust him again. The Holy Spirit's here to work with you, not to condemn you, not to cause guilt, but to convict you in a way that propels you closer to him, to bring you into the light and out of cave dwelling. Romans 6:7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Your ability to live free from sin and have power over it is through Christ Jesus. The verse that we looked at, the very first part, is for when we died with Christ. How many know this letter, this word for, these three simple letters, F-O-R. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Some of you are about to be set free from the power of sin because you're about to know that and you die to Christ. When you are willing to die to your old man, the old person, you know what I'm talking about, the old person, the sin nature where you're saying, God, begin to take away all of these temptations because I'm going to give my life to you. And I'm going to be literally set free from the power of this cave that's been holding me back. It says, when we die with Christ, that's saying yes to repentance. And that's a big word, and maybe you've never heard that word before. And some of you are like, well, I've been in church my whole life. I know what that word is. Good job. Turn your life away from sin and towards God. That's repentance. It's changing your mind. It's turning towards God. It's saying, maybe my insane way of doing things actually is not working, and maybe, God, you want to do something new. How many of you are ready for something new in your life? You want newness of life? You need Jesus. There's no other hope. I know sometimes people are like, you know, I'm going to try a new diet plan that's going to make me feel better, and they're just a skinnier version of the same depressed person. Now, exercise is great, and getting some endorphins into your system is great. But getting the power of God in your life is transformative. Some are like, see, sweetheart, he told me I didn't have to exercise, just need more Jesus. And she's going to say, and a little less food. Amen. When we say yes to Jesus, we're saying yes to him in a way that honors him as the Lord of our life. Now, some of you are like, I don't know what a Lord, but I can tell you this. Can you make him? I'll use other language. Can you make him the captain of your life? The coach of your life that you really respect? Like when he speaks, you're like, yes, I'm going to do it that way. See, I remember two types of coaches in my high school. I remember one coach, he would yell at you and tell you you're a loser if you didn't do it right. Until one day he found one of my schoolmates punch him in the face. Because he said it one too many times. And it wasn't respectful of my friend to do that. And he was released eventually. But I remember another coach coming in. The Jesus type of coach. He would come alongside of you. And when you didn't shoot the basketball right, he would come alongside you and he'd say, Hurley, you're doing good. But maybe just change it a little bit and do it this way. Jesus comes alongside of us and says, this is not the best way. I've got another way that's going to make it so much better. How many of you are ready to make Jesus the coach of your life that loves you and wants to help you? And he doesn't come to condemn. He helps to change you. And then we'll be set free from the power of sin. And you know what? We're set free from the power of sin when we surrender our life to him and allow the resurrection of Jesus Christ to work in us. Jesus is calling you today out of the cave, unbeliever. He's calling you who have been walking far from God. He's calling you out of the cave. And believer, that's allowed areas of your life to still live in darkness, he is calling you out of the cave. And where is he calling us to? Some of us have kind of held on to the cave like, hey, I've had a little resurrection, but I'm not quite sure because if my family comes and they're messed up, I kind of feel like going back into hiding again. Don't raise your hand, but I mean, just not. I mean, everyone's got family drama. Isn't that true? Because if you invited your family and you're saying yes, they're going to be like, oh, I didn't know you thought I had drama. And now you got more drama on top of drama. And how many don't need any more drama kings or queens? You just need a whole new makeover of the Holy Spirit working in your, I don't know why I'm talking about family. I got in-laws in town. They're not here, so I'm speaking freely. Amen? I love them, too. My wife's like, you love them. I do love them. Some of you are holding on to the cave. Jesus wants you to move away from cave dwelling altogether. And this scripture hits me, and I hope it hits you as well. This is what Jesus wants to do. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you what? Safely home to God. That's his heart. That's his motive. Some of you have been holding out going, I'm not quite sure, but God's motive is to love you afresh in your life so that you see that the living God has a living plan, a living hope, and a living light that will bring you to a whole new place. The Bible says Christ suffered for our sins. Some of you are still in the cave of suffering because you did not recognize that Jesus suffered for you on that cross. Come out of that cave. Amen. Come out of that cave. I want to share with you a story of someone who, by their life circumstances, I think was shoved in a cave. And many of you are like, you know, things have happened to me in my life where I kind of feel like it's not fair. But you know what? If you hold on to that emotion, even, and I can be in agreement with you, it was not fair. But if you hold on to that emotion, you will not come out of the grave or the cave that Jesus is calling you out of. Amen. I could be in a heated agreement with you about the pain of your past, but Jesus wants to heal you to bring you out of that cave. Let's watch a story about Jesus pulling someone out of the cave.
At the end of everyone's story comes great wisdom. At the beginning, great faith is built up. But in the middle, in the midst of the chaos, comes great power. Growing up, I had a great childhood. I was the youngest of four. I had two older brothers and a sister. I remember one specific time in elementary school, the office calling me down, getting in the car with my mom. She said that my older sister was in a car accident. At the time, I didn't think much of it as we traveled to the hospital. A few days later, she had passed away. I began to pursue my faith and start to question who God was and why he took my sister at such a young age. She was my rock. She was my foundation. She was the one I turned to when I needed help spelling and reading because I couldn't do those things alone. She was the one that I spent all of my time with. Who was I without her? As I continued to pursue my faith, I realized that my home life wasn't normal. I grew up in a hoarding home, and at the time, I just hid it and didn't talk about it. I remember wanting to invite friends over, but never being able to because I didn't want to tell them my reality. I remember friends dropping me off and me running to my neighbor's house and hiding behind their house until they left so that no one actually knew where I lived. At my house, when I would leave, I would crack the door open just enough so I could sneak past, but not enough so that you could actually see inside. That's exactly what my heart was like. I never actually let anyone see what the inside was like. High school came easy. I was on varsity track, dance team, grades were simple. But people didn't realize who I actually was on the inside. When I went home, I went into a cave of depression and anxiety. And at school, I was a completely different person. My insecurities became my excuses, and I began to numb the pain of my depression and anxiety through parties and approval of others. As senior year came, I was pregnant, even though morally I knew it was incorrect, and I said it would never happen to me. My pregnancy was nothing like you would see in the movies of this glamorous time. I was depressed, I was lonely, all the friends that I thought I would have for a lifetime were gone. I had no one. I had nothing. There being one person that pursued me even though I felt unlovable. I would turn her down over and over again, but she still loved me in grace and in truth. I remember this one specific time she had asked to come and make dinner for now me and my newborn child. I remember watching her get out of the car from the window. She knocked on the door. I didn't answer. She called me. And then I watched her load her kids back up in the car, all the groceries. Later on, I began to apologize, even though I knew exactly what I did. It was easier for me to keep the door closed and stay in my cave than to let anyone inside to see my mess, to see my disaster of my heart. But no matter how messy my life seemed, she continued to be everywhere. She was my math teacher, my track coach, my young life leader. She became a friend when I needed one the most. Because of Melinda, I began to have relationships with a group of women that I never thought was possible. I had a community of other moms that were in the same season of life as me. As I was around them more, I began to realize that I admired them because of their relationship with God, which rekindled my desire to have a relationship with God. I myself needed to realize that I was in a cave and I needed to come out. I needed to stop letting my insecurities become my excuses and limiting the power that God had for my life. I've been redeemed. I've been renewed. I've been made alive. And He can do the same for you if you would just come out of your cave.
But it's dark in this cave. I can't see anything in this cave. And if there's anything that a story that Kendra's life maybe has illustrated, is it's not easy. It's not easy when you don't know where your strength is going to come from. But I want to tell you, like her story, many people have experienced the power of Jesus' resurrection, the resurrection story. For her, it was from the cave of loneliness and despair to hope. Jesus appeared to her. From the cave to friendships, from the cave to marriage, from the cave to more children. Who knew that she would move from Colorado all the way up to this place? Broken yet still God working in her, and then God would help her to become our children's director, to touch the lives of many, many children. That as God pulled her out of the cave, it would be bringing her into the light to love on others, to bring them out of their caves. Into the purposes of God, from the cave into daughtership, into the dwelling of a confidence that she is a child of God and that she has value and purpose. You may say, well, that's great for Kendra, but I'm just one person in a sea of people. God does care about the crowd of people, but He also cares about you. This may be illustrated in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, He was seen by more than 500 of His followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then He was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw Him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. See, church, God appeared to the crowd. He also appeared to the disciples. He appeared also to some. But He also appeared to Paul. Jesus is calling us out of the cave into a place where the anthem of our heart needs to be, Jesus, appear to me. Can you just repeat after me? Appear to me. Appear to me, Jesus. Jesus, appear to me. Bring me out of the cave. Bring me out of the darkness. Bring me out of the woundedness. Bring me out of the scars and the pain. God, bring me out of the dysfunction into a resurrected life that was with You, where I have the power over sin so that I can walk in a life that honors You. I can't promise you that there will not be any more suffering, but you will know a person you can bring your suffering to, and that is the person Jesus who died on that cross for your sins and for mine, that we might have eternal life with Him. Jesus said to the woman who was in sin, I am the resurrection and I am the life. If you want to meet the life, you've got to meet the power of his resurrection. Amen. Come out of the cave. I'm saying this to your spirit today. Come out of the cave. Come out of the pain. Come out of the woundedness. Come out of the scars. Come out of everything that has held you back from the purposes of God. Believer, unbeliever, person who's been walking far from God, come home. God is calling you to a life full of purpose. Amen.